This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And in our latest installment of What is Happening Exactly and What Can I Do? We are talking about public parks, because you may remember when MCO 2.0 was first announced, essentially the Prime Minister had mentioned that people would be allowed to jog outside of their homes in pairs or cycle in pairs, not in groups, and maintaining distances. But subsequently, we've seen parks going, we've seen announcements that say, yeah, parks can open. Oh no, hold on, they're closed. Oh no, wait, they're back to being open. And this is causing a lot of public confusion and frustration, especially because I think we've learned from last year that exercise is so important. Outdoor space, fresh air is so beneficial for our mental health when we're being told to do nothing but stay put and stay indoors.
I know I was certainly one of those people who didn't realise how much I was missing being outdoors until the CMCO came about and I could finally go outside and comfortably be in spaces that were open and green and you could breathe in fresh air. And I think this theme of confusion, this lack of clarity, is something we've talked about so many times since this new MCO has come up. You know, for instance, playground sections are going to be sealed off so that gatherings can't happen there. Now, this means that group activities such as Tai Chi, picnics, camping will not be allowed for public use, which, I mean, is part of what the PM said. He did say that we shouldn't indulge in activities that involve more than one person or two people from the same household. Those who enter parks, of course, can only do so for exercise, but they will have to register using their MyStrata apps. All other facilities will be closed off other than toilets.
So in Selangor, local government councils will decide if parks within their purview will be allowed to open. I do think, you know, we're talking about the larger parks, right? The ones that fall within local councils and that are actually taken care of in that way. I mean, all parks technically, but you know what I mean. You know, the ones that will have those public facilities. However, as somebody who does live in a taman with a house that directly faces a large and, at the best of times, fairly popular playground, because it has a basketball court that can also be a volleyball court, there's a badminton court. So in other words, it is a space where people in the past would come, park their cars, play basketball for 2 hours and leave. I will say that throughout this MCO, there have been times where I looked out in my playground and felt some trepidation, simply because if you really counted the amount of people who were in this park, it would be 30, maybe 40 people, you know, scattered out, but still. And so I think that it is a good question to raise about how it is that we're going to do this and do it safely. But I don't want to deny people public space and fresh air.
So it comes back again to this question that has constantly been popping up, right? The question of enforcement, because you can have these rules, but who is responsible for enforcing them? Are we expecting every neighborhood to be policed, to have policemen driving around checking every neighborhood park? You know, if you talk about larger parks, it's actually quite difficult for people to be enforcing them unless you actually walk inside and check what people are doing too. So it's a tough one, because I don't want parks to be closed. But at the same time, it feels like relying on just common sense and hoping people will follow the rules is not enough.
Yes. So I also visited Taman Tugu during the RMCO, I believe. And it's very difficult to maintain distancing because it's a trail. And I think that anybody who after a long time cooped up indoors decided, okay, I'm ready, I'm going to hit the trails again, would have experienced this, because people walk at different speeds. That's just the basic truth of it. And so if you are supposed to be maintaining that constant speed, then everybody is only walking at the slowest person's pace. And so, you know, you do get this moment where you do have to pass each other. You also have people who don't necessarily know how to do so, and then accidentally, I think, start breathing down your neck. And
breathing down your neck is the worst thing you want to hear right now.
Right this second, it truly is. So I think that we do need safe spaces to allow people to go out, exercise, get that fresh air, just get that hit of nature, right? Which makes so many of us feel a bit more grounded. But at the same time, being able to do it safely and ensuring that everybody is really, really respectful of each other's space at this time, I think that's a tough proposition.
No, I agree. Similar to you, I remember going to Bukit Tinggi, going to Fraser's. And when it comes to trails in particular, and there are parks as well where there are trails which kind of circle spaces and all that. And when it comes to children, for instance, it becomes quite difficult to make sure that people are maintaining that distance. I don't have an easy answer. I fall back on enforcement. I think some way needs to be figured out to make sure that people know what they can and cannot do and are doing it.
So have you been to a park during this MCO 2.0? What have you observed while you were there? If you were exercising, jogging, was it full? Were there lots of people? Do you think that parks should be allowed to open during the MCO, and how can we keep them safe? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Peter Leong, who's the committee member of Friends of Bukit Kiara. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It's 5:13 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We are talking about parks being able to open in Kuala Lumpur and essentially how to keep them safe, as well as how to ensure that everybody is actually practicing self-discipline and, you know, doing our part in ensuring that there is no cluster park, whatever. So let us know. I mean, have you been exercising in parks during this time? What have you observed? Have there been lots of people? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, sharing his perspective is Peter Leong, committee member of Friends of Bukit Kiara. Peter, it's good to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me, and hope all our listeners are keeping very well and safe.
So what's it like at the moment at the Bukit Kiara Trail? Has it remained closed? Is it allowed to open?
Yeah, at the moment it remains closed. We have no news on a prospective reopening date. I think many of our listeners here are probably tuned in to our social media, Friends of Bukit Kiara on Facebook. We do also encourage everyone to like and follow the social media of the park authority in charge of Bukit Kiara, which is Jabatan Landscape Negara. I repeat, Jabatan Landscape Negara, that's what their Facebook account is called.
There's been a lot of back and forth in terms of whether parks can should remain open or closed. How do residents feel about this?
You mean the flip-flopping and sort of thing?
Yes, again? That's right.
I see. Yeah, I think that's a really wide issue that affects so many facets of public life in this difficult time. I think the solution to that lies in a larger area. But for this immediate area, I think we do understand why the public gets confused on the communications bits. For example, Landscape Negara, Jabatan Landscape Negara, which manages Taman Persekutuan Bukit Kiara, some people are also vaguely aware that DBKL also has a quote-unquote Jabatan Landscape. And actually, that's just an internal department. So in the case of Taman Persekutuan Bukit Kiara, which is the 400 acres up on the hill, that's under Jabatan Landscape Negara, the federal agency, whereas Taman Rimba Kiara, you know, the lowland park behind the Hindu temple on Jalan Tun Muhammad Fuad, that's under DBKL's internal landscape department.
So with that said then, I mean, do you personally... want to see them open, and how so we've been talking about that confusion, right? How could that have been done better?
Well, ultimately I think it's communication. If you talk about the existence of the Taman Persekutuan Bukit Kiara, it's actually under the same framework or the same bylaws as any of the public parks in DBKL. But it has a different managing agency, which is not DBKL, and this kind of category is recognized in the bylaw. So there's another layer of decision-making. Jabatan Landscape Negara will obviously only reopen if they feel confident enough of managing the SOPs well. And I think that process needs to flow through to the public awareness.
So what are the pros and cons that we are seeing here? I mean, on the one hand, if parks were to remain closed, but on the other, are people actually sticking to the behaviour they're supposed to, or are we seeing them flouting it?
I think you will see all kinds of behaviours, but at the end of the day, I think people are feeling cooped up. They want to use various kinds of public spaces to get their fix of outdoor activity. And obviously, if parks are not open, they will need to do their exercise on whatever available space. Most obviously would be the public roads. And depending on the particular neighborhood, you know, we will see this bringing different kinds of issues and risks. Not just the so-called the health-related aspects, but also things like road safety and that kind of thing.
What do you think can be done to ensure that people using these public spaces abide by the SOPs? Is it going to come down to enforcement, or is there something else that can be done?
Yeah, enforcement, I think, is just part of it. Enforcement is a deterrent. It obviously cannot capture every so-called misdeed. And in the case of forested parks like Bukit Kiara, you know, you can't have ice everywhere. But while the deterrent is necessary, I think, first of all, we hope that good common sense and individual situational awareness, that probably counts more than anything else. I guess people need to follow whatever rules are prescribed by the SOP, and depending which are the parks or the specific premises that are being visited, I think we need to be aware what are the locally specific rules. And finally, I also guess it's important for everyone to have a sense of proportion, to ask ourselves if we have alternatives, you know, not to overutilize the popular and available parks and open spaces just because we have more time on our hands, you know. It's a rather personal ask, but just something to think about.
So this question of overutilizing, right? Different parks are different. Some have larger trails, some have smaller trails. Do you foresee issues of overcrowding? How can these things be managed?
Yeah. I think, like when I said, people feel cooped up, they look for available options. And if only few options are available, then there will be over-concentration. And many of these places are not even actual parks. In KL, there are many, there are various undeveloped lands or tanah tebia, you know, that have become de facto green lungs. I mean, to Bukit Kiara, the nearest example would probably be Bukit Sri Bintang, which is right next door to Desa Park City. And never in its history has it seen bigger crowds than now during MCO, because it's basically an unregulated area. So I think the authorities need to think hard about, you know, while allowing outdoor exercise, I think there's a need to understand how to implement a spreading out strategy, to apply the principles of carrying capacity for any green lung.
So, in your opinion, then, what would you like to see happen about what would you like to see happen when it comes to how the government conveys decisions about public spaces and how it is managed to avoid these issues that we're talking about now, like overcrowding?
Probably one way that could be a bit more "quote unquote" holistic is maybe there should be a common risk assessment and risk management protocol which can be applied uniformly and consistently across all green spaces, irrespective of whether this is in KL or Selangor, irrespective of whether which agency is running it. So if you have that kind of uniform protocol, then we can hopefully then keep as many of these green lungs open as can be managed with due regard to the pandemic control. And it helps to reduce the motivation for people to cross district borders, helps to, prevent over-concentration in a few unregulated spaces. I mean, all those undesirable things that we're seeing now. Probably I'd also like to add that there's, apart from recreational use, there's also some green lungs where important scientific research data collection is going on, various scientific programs. Of course, most of them are forest reserves. But notably within KL, you would have, of course, Bukit Kiara and possibly Taman Tugu, where various scientific data collection programs are running. And these are important to the future of our green lungs. And we hope that this will also be facilitated.
Peter, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. And by the way, if I could ask everyone to follow us on Facebook, and all the details are there for joining us as a member too.
Excellent. That was Peter Leong, committee member of Friends of Bukit Kiara. Again, you can find them just by searching that on Facebook. And Peter was talking to us about parks being open during the MCO and in some ways the trials and tribulations that come with that, right? Because we have seen some shifts of decisions happen on this. And even so, people are raising the issue of, even if they're open, how can we ensure that everybody going is going to be abiding by the SOPs, doing everything correctly and safely? And so on that note, here are some messages. So first of all, we have this from Rajesh.
So Rajesh says, I walk daily at our local park within my taman. I observe that there are still people, especially senior citizens, who can't help but not physically distance themselves. They miss their daily chats and their group activities. I'm worried that they are unaware of how dangerous this is. The police should be making some random checks, not to summon them, but to educate or to have targeted social media messages or videos for this.
I think, Rajesh, that level of empathy is important, right? Because actually these are also the people that I've seen in my taman, and I think it's part of the routine. One of the most painful things that we've seen during the pandemic and the MCO is the loss of routine, right? And for many, not just older folks, but I think in my taman at least, they're the ones who do it the most. The walking groups, the going for breakfast and teh and kopi after, it's a huge part of staying social and staying active. And I think yelling at each other from a meter away while you try to keep pace with one another, it simply isn't the same.
Yeah, and you know, I don't mean to sort of isolate and say it is an older person problem, but I think we also need to be aware that for this community, they are not as digital savvy as, or anyway, a lot of them are not as digital savvy as we might be. Those of us who are able to go out or to go to work or to WhatsApp our friends or have Zoom calls, this is just not part of their daily communication method. And I can so imagine that they'd miss their daily chats with their friends. So it's I do think that it's education and not sort of finger pointing that we need to do.
Meanwhile, Chin says, since it's the MCO, temporarily playgrounds and parks should be closed since not all people follow SOP strictly.
And I think that's something that we've observed, and we talked about this, right? That it is a problem when there are rules, but people don't follow them. I'm not convinced that that means that they should be closed, but I do feel it's a case of sometimes some people making it more difficult for everyone else.
I also think that this is about, I mean, as with almost everything in Malaysia, right? Like while we're on the subject of enforcement, I think that there is some confusion on the enforcement level of what constitutes exercise, because the premise is that if you are exercising, you don't have to wear a face mask. Now, of course, I could be out strolling in an exercising place. That doesn't necessarily make me somebody who is exercising. And yet, you do also see people doing precisely that and not wearing masks because, hey, I put my sneakers on. You know, this is exercising time.
So Colum Girl on Twitter says, it's safer than going to the shopping mall or department store.
Perhaps so, yeah. I think we've seen that time and time again, right? Like out, who was it the other day? I think we had Ro write in to say, outdoors is in and indoors is out. And so I think that's reflected in this tweet. We also have this message from Ravi.
So pre-MCO 2.0, over the weekend, I went to walk along the neighbourhood of Bukit Gasing. I had to wear my face mask each time I passed the entrance because common sense wasn't common anymore. People never followed the SOP.
So that's more or less what I observed as well when I did go to the popular trails, right? So around the Klang Valley, Bukit Gasing, of course, is hugely popular. Bukit Kiara, Taman Tugu. And each time, I would say it's a 50-50 mix. You would see people who were abiding by it as best they could, wearing their masks constantly, even at a relatively brisk pace, you know, and just living with that and maintaining the distance. But on the other hand, you would see people clumping. It just happened along the way. And or you would see people sitting at the park benches together. I don't know. So I do think common sense isn't common anymore is something that we have unfortunately been observing more and more of throughout last year.
You know what really bothers me is the ones who have their face mask on but have it below their nose. It really bothers me because I'm like, what is the point? I feel like I can't tell you to put it on properly because you kind of have it on, but that's not how you're supposed to wear it.
Oddly enough, I feel like that's the most common mistake that public figures make.
Yes.
Whenever you see them on television, you just want to say, pinch it, pull it, just you know, get it over your nose. Let us know. I mean, what have your experiences been like? Are you going out to the park at the moment to exercise, wherever that may be? What have you observed? Are people following SOPs really strictly, or is it a little loose? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, which is also where we have a poll running at the moment, which is asking this very question: do you feel comfortable exercising in parks? And out of 100 votes, we just put it up, it's 60% are saying yes with strict SOPs, while 40% are saying no, it's unsafe. So it's pretty neck and neck at the moment. So weigh in, let us know. We'll be back to revisit this after the 5:30 news. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.